Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. A presidential board of inquiry holds a closed-door hearing today in Washington on the 93-day-old nationwide coal strike. Representatives of the operators and the mine workers union will appear for questioning. Soon afterward, the panel will write a report on the strike situation, and President Carter will then move for a federal court injunction against the walkout under the Taft-Hartley law. The injunction will direct the miners to go back to work for an 80-day cooling-off period. Administration officials say that if the court order is ignored, as many observers think it will be, government seizure of the mines remains a strong possibility, even though the White House has denied it. As the country waits to see what will happen on that score, a mounting threat to the leadership of the union president is developing in the coal fields, and we'll hear about it from Russ Wise of station WCHS in Charleston, West Virginia.
Opponents of UMW President Arnold Miller say they're ready to challenge him before the union's membership. Bill Bryant of Local 1766 says the recent collapse of the Miller-backed contract proposal has further weakened the union president's position. Bryant says his Miners for Recall Committee now has petitions bearing the names of more than 14,000 miners calling for Miller's removal.
We're going to make sure we've got the right amount of signatures for sure. And then we're going to deliver them.
Any idea as to when we can expect to see those things appear in Washington?
It'll be soon, very soon, within the next week or so, probably, maybe before that.
Bryant estimates verification of the signatures and the recall vote will take about 2 months once the petitions are delivered to union headquarters in Washington. This is Russ Wise for CBS News in Charleston, West Virginia.
Virginia's Governor John Dalton yesterday declared a state of emergency. State police patrols have been doubled in some areas, and hundreds of Virginia National Guardsmen have been placed on standby alert. Dalton says anybody who wants to mine and move coal will be protected. President Carter has declared an energy emergency in Maryland because of coal shortages. The neutron bomb was rejected today by Holland. That device is intended to produce twice the radiation of a conventional nuclear bomb, but far less explosive power. David Durham reports from Amsterdam.
After a stormy six-hour debate in the lower house of the Dutch parliament, the government has turned thumbs down on the European deployment of the neutron bomb. Dutch Prime Minister Van Ock said the debate ended with a vote of 2-1 calling the production of the weapon by the United States undesirable. The debate was called following the weekend resignation of Dutch Defense Minister Krausinga. The defense minister, who is a member of the ruling Christian Democratic Party, has been an outspoken opponent of the bomb and resigned in protest to the cabinet's earlier decision not to take a firm stand on the issue until all of the NATO allies had a chance to discuss the matter. Prime Minister Van Ock said that Parliament would have the final say as to whether the neutron bomb would be deployed by Dutch forces in NATO. Dave Durham for CBS News, Amsterdam.
Israeli Defense Minister Edzer Weitzman is in Washington today, fresh from a successful challenge to Prime Minister Menachem Begin by telephone. Weitzman threatened to resign unless work on expansion of Jewish settlements in occupied Arab territories was halted temporarily, and Begin yielded. Now, as we hear from CBS News Pentagon correspondent Ike Pappas, Weitzman is turning his attention to other compelling matters.
The Israeli defense minister will spend the day at the Pentagon meeting with Secretary of Defense Harold Brown, several members of the Joint Chiefs, and other defense officials. Pentagon sources said the main topic of conversation will be the long-range military aid request Israel has submitted that would permit the Israelis to purchase over $13 billion worth of arms over the next 9 years. Weitzman's visit here, according to sources, is also meant to spearhead Israel's efforts to prevent the sale of sophisticated jet fighters to Egypt and Saudi Arabia as part of the recently announced Middle East arms package that also includes Israel. The Israelis argue that the sale of 80 F-5s to Egypt and 60 of the more advanced F-15s to Saudi Arabia will upset the military balance in the Middle East. The administration doesn't see it that way and insists that Congress approve the three-way deal as a package. Prime Minister Begin arrives in Washington next week to intensify the Israeli effort. Ike Pappas, CBS News, the Pentagon.
While he's in Washington, Begin will confer with President Carter. And Doug Sager reports from Cairo that the Egyptians are attaching great significance to that meeting.
Officials traveling with American shuttle mediator Alfred Atherton warned newsmen in briefings here and in Jerusalem not to expect any spectacular breakthroughs from the Washington talks. But all three of Cairo's major dailies are running editorials saying that the Carter-Reagan meeting is the time for the U.S. to exercise its long-awaited role in bringing about resumed face-to-face negotiations. Even before Anwar Sadat flew to Washington last month for his session with President Carter, high-level foreign ministry officials here were complaining that the U.S. wasn't taking an active enough role in bringing the two sides together. And now the government-controlled press here is indicating that Egypt regards the Carter-Reagan meeting as a test of U.S. commitment to the peace process. Doug Sager for CBS News, Cairo.
Assistant Secretary Atherton ended his current Middle East shuttle this morning. He left Israel and flew to Europe, planning to meet with Saudi Arabian Foreign Minister Prince Saud in Geneva. After that, Atherton will return to Washington to take part in next week's conferences with Prime Minister Begin. Debate on the Panama Canal treaties goes on today in the Senate, pointing now toward a definite date for a vote on the first of the two, the treaty guaranteeing the canal's neutrality and providing for its joint defense after the year 2000. CBS News White House correspondent Robert Pierpoint reports that right now the outcome appears too close to call.
The latest nose count by Carter administration sources gives the treaty 60 sure votes and the opponents 30, with 10 crucial senators still uncommitted. President Carter needs 7 of those 10 and is not at all certain he'll get them. When opponents of the treaty announced Monday that they would agree to a final vote on March 16th, aides to the president became immediately suspicious that someone was changing sides, and attention is now focusing on Massachusetts Republican Senator Edward Brooke. The only black in the Senate, Brooke might be expected to support a treaty that ends what many view as U.S. colonialism in Panama, but so far he has refused to commit himself. In fact, aides to Brooke indicate the Massachusetts senator, who faces a tight Republican primary race this year, has been somewhat miffed that the Carter administration has been taking it for granted he will support the president. But if so, it is not doing so anymore. With every vote vital, Vice President Mondale has invited Brooke to a meeting with the president. Among other arguments that are expected to be used on Senator Brooke and others of his wavering colleagues is how they might feel if the treaties are defeated by one vote and violence erupts in Latin America against the United States. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News at the White House.
In the Central American Republic of Guatemala, a complete recount of Sunday's presidential election is now underway. As a result of charges of ballot box stuffing and other irregularities, the Electoral Board has annulled all previous announcements of returns and is starting in all over again. A compromise has been reached on Capitol Hill on an issue that has long prevented passage of energy legislation. Nelson Benton has details.
A bipartisan group of Senate energy negotiators broke a 3-month deadlock on natural gas pricing with a plan that would phase out federal price regulation by 1985. The compromise would give the president and Congress authority to reimpose controls if prices skyrocketed. Although Senate conferees have not formally approved the plan, a majority has agreed to its essential provisions. Energy Secretary James Schlesinger sat in on the closed-door negotiations and has indicated administration approval. One negotiator said the Energy Department estimates the gas plan would cost consumers $15 to $17 billion more by 1985 than the administration proposal. Senator Jackson will outline the compromise to House energy leaders today in an effort to get members of both houses working again on energy legislation, which has been blocked by the deadlock among senators. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Washington.
Police in Norfolk, Virginia made an arrest during the night in connection with the attempted murder of Hustler publisher Larry Flint. A 20-year-old man identified as Teddy Morris was taken into custody in a Norfolk tavern on a fugitive warrant issued in Georgia. The man offered no resistance. He's being held without bond pending a court appearance today. He has not been formally charged with any crime, but is named in the warrant on 2 counts of attempted murder and aggravated assault in the shooting of Flint and his lawyer in Georgia. Flint remains in critical condition following 2 operations. Belgian police report that Baron Charles Brocht, a prominent businessman and Austria's honorary consul general in Antwerp, was kidnapped last night. So far as is known, no ransom has yet been demanded.